BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on BCY America. Well, friends, it should come as no surprise to you if you've had your nose in a newspaper or heard bits and pieces coming from some of the major media across the country. There is a growing impeachment fever on the part of the majority-controlled House of Representatives, and much of the major media is fanning the flames for this. Since the trumped-up charges of Russian collusion did not work, there are new attempts are being made to pin something on the president. Doesn't matter if a whistleblower is depending upon hearsay. Doesn't matter what the facts are. What matters is that there must be a new surge of investigations into matters pertaining to the president. Hillary Clinton continues to refer, even recently, to President Trump as an illegitimate president and continues to deny the results of the last election. Others are doing everything possible to sway the next election, the 2020 election. Well, here with a discussion on Ukraine, impeachment, Joe Biden, and all the related issues, we welcome back Robert Romano, who is Vice President of Public Policy with Americans for Limited Government. Robert, thanks for joining us here today.
It's great to be on. Thanks so much, Jim.
So this whole Ukrainian uproar and impeachment inquiry, to me, it's just like another episode of a soap opera that appears to have no end. So to gain proper understanding, Robert, on this matter, I believe it would be good to just review from the beginning what has brought us to this point. I know it goes back into the Obama administration, and Vice President Joe Biden's visit to Ukraine involves the former Vice President's son Hunter. It involves Russiagate, but the context for all of this is important for understanding. So if you would, go ahead and provide the narrative for us. What is a good starting point to help us in our understanding?
I would go back to 2013 with former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych. He was considering a trade agreement with the European Union. Paul Manafort at the time was Trump campaign chairman in 2016. In 2013 was Yanukovych's advisor, and he was saying, do the trade deal with the European Union. But Yanukovych rejected Manafort's advice. Soon there were protests by pro-EU protesters in Kiev who were saying that Yanukovych had to go. You need to adopt the trade deal. Soon in the February of 2014, which started as peaceful protests, suddenly turned bloody, and there were people shooting at police and protesters, and then the civil war in Ukraine broke out. 2 days after the shootings, Yanukovych was impeached. He flew out of Kiev via helicopter. He fled to Russia, and then the U.S. installed a new administration. Within weeks, the trade deal was adopted. Shortly thereafter, we've all heard about Hunter Biden. He was put on to this board of Burisma Holdings in Ukraine, but that's almost kind of, it's less important to what was really going on here. Joe Biden was being put in charge of Ukraine policy. The United States helped to topple the government there, seemingly to get this trade deal enacted. And then you fast forward to the 2016 elections, and what's going on is President Trump is saying we need to improve relations with Russia. And Ukraine was one of those examples where you could point at it and say, you know what, this hasn't turned out well. Since the civil war broke out there, the people of Crimea said, we're going to go be with Russia now. And then you have all these separatist uprisings in eastern Ukraine, and the country just splits right down the middle there. And Trump's saying, you know, we need to improve this situation. This is not good. This could be a catalyst for something like World War III, so let's try to get along with Russia. And that's when the U.S. intelligence agencies in 2016 started coming after President Trump with these phony baloney allegations, these false allegations we now know, because the conspiracy theory was debunked by none other than Bob Mueller and his special counsel report that just came out a few months ago. But at the time, in 2016, they would have sworn on the Bible that Trump was a Russian agent and that he was a stooge of Vladimir Putin. And I think that that formed the basis of those allegations. And then going forward, the phony investigation was carried over into the Trump administration by James Comey. He lied to President Trump about the extent of the investigation. Trump fired him. Mueller was appointed. 2 years later, Manafort's prosecuted and convicted.
Hello, Robert. Okay, it looks like we lost our guest here, Robert. Romano, so we're going to make attempts to reconnect with Robert. Robert Romano is with us. He is the Vice President of Public Policy with Americans for Limited Government, and just unfolding for us, going us back to 2013 and what has brought us to this point. The whole aspect of Russian collusion. We have seen also the matter of the inquiry that was held here with the Mueller report and the FBI, and we have reconnected here with Robert. Robert, so you were right involved in telling us about the Mueller report and the false charges here from James Comey as well.
Absolutely. Well, when you fast forward, Mueller found there was no collusion with Russia, now Trump and Attorney General William Barr are trying to get to the bottom of what these agencies were up to. Why were they so convinced that President Trump was a Russian agent? Why were the UK former British spy Christopher Steele involved with this? Why were they feeding information to the Clinton campaign, who fed it to the Justice Department? Then you have the FISA warrants against the Trump campaign. So Trump is talking to these foreign leaders, probably he's talked to Boris Johnson too over there in the UK, but he's talking to this new Ukrainian president, Zelensky. Politico had a report in early 2017 that Ukraine had its own pro-Clinton election interference operation that was trying to portray Trump as a Russian agent. And this kind of, I think, is what they're looking at with that. And now you hear that the Trump is also in touch with the Australians. I think we're about to find out what the other side of the story was on these Russiagate allegations that turned out to be fictitious.
So let's take us to this conversation that happened on July 25th. I mean, these are supposed to be confidential, classified conversations, are they not?
Absolutely. It got out of the White House some way. Now, the White House transcribes these. They're kept by the National Security Council. But the so-called whistleblower, his complaint has also been declassified, doesn't appear to have firsthand knowledge. He doesn't say he has firsthand knowledge. And, in fact, he gets numerous facts wrong in the complaint. For example, they reference the Ukrainian president being pressured, but they might have checked with the president of Ukraine. He's publicly stated that there was no pressure, to investigate Biden or anything else. I think that Trump is asking for legal assistance here, and that's absolutely legitimate. We have a treaty with Ukraine and a bunch of other countries for mutual legal assistance. And I think that's what they're doing. Trump is going through channels, official channels, and is initiating this. And Barr, the Justice Department, after the transcripts were released, has come forward and said, yes, we're in touch with Ukraine. We're investigating foreign intelligence involvement with this counterintelligence investigation against Trump that turned out to be on false charges that he was a Russian agent.
And we understand, too, that the rules, we understand, for whistleblower mysteriously changed just a short time before the whistleblower complaint was made to allow for hearsay.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Chuck Grassley has just come out and said that, you know, the whistleblower, just let him testify. It's not going to – I don't think he's really worried about what this whistleblower has to testify about, because it's a policy disagreement. Trump had put a brief pause on foreign aid and military assistance to Ukraine after this new president was elected. But those funds were already released on September 11th. I think that Trump has a good relationship now with Zelensky and Ukraine, and the military assistance is flowing. So all of the bases for, I think, this investigation and this witch hunt, this impeachment, are basically a phony. We're backing Ukraine. We're acting as a check against Russia. And the only thing, military assistance that came up in the phone call was Trump and Zelensky both complaining that Germany, France, and the rest of Europe are not paying their fair share and doing enough to help out Ukraine against Russia.
So is that uncommon for the President of the United States to withhold funds for a time, especially when there's been a turnover in presidents?
Well, yes, it's up to the president's discretion. They can impound funds, they can withhold funds, they can pause funds out of the Office of Management and Budget. I mean, they can even propose rescinding the funds, but it has to go back to Congress to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, you're obligated to go forward with the funds, but there are mechanisms for slowing it down and for conducting reviews, which happened at the State Department level and at the Defense Department level. They completed their reviews and they said the funding's okay, let's go forward. And they did.
We understand that there are sections of this whistleblower complaint that actually have connections to George Soros?
I'm honestly less familiar with that aspect of the transcript, but we weren't really focused on the Soros angle here, more the larger geopolitical issues.
Okay, and some of the funding, of course, that came from George Soros to an organization that's been greatly involved in this. Do we have any information to this point really about the whistleblower?
He's, the New York Times has reported that he is a CIA, or she is a CIA officer, and who was at one point stationed at the White House. Whether that this person was at the White House when this was going on, I think hasn't been revealed yet. But clearly somebody who knows people in the White House. According to the complaint, it was officials at the White House who were complaining about the pausing of military assistance to Ukraine that were the source of the allegations. Now, why didn't they make a whistleblower complaint? Well, they're not members of the intelligence community. And what, this whistleblower, he's complaining over policy disagreements with President Trump about what to do with military aid, what our U.S. role in Ukraine is going to be. And policy disagreements are really, that shouldn't be a mechanism for intelligence officers to lodge complaints against the President of the United States. I think President Trump kind of outranks the low intelligence officer there.
Yeah, I guess this where it seems it's important that the threat that Vice President Joe Biden made when he was vice president overseeing Ukraine at the time about having you know, the one investigating his son be fired, it seems to have a connection to all of this.
Well, I think that gives it shows you that there's an incentive for Joe Biden not to have the Ukrainian prosecutor's office looking too closely at what was going on in Ukraine, dating back to 2014, which is when Biden was put on this board at Burisma. But I mean, I think that this prosecutor was small potatoes compared to overthrowing Viktor Yanukovych back in 2014.
Yeah.
So going after the prosecutor general, no big deal for Joe Biden. He's bragging about that. He's bragging about overthrowing Yanukovych in his book that was published in 2017.
So the president's conversation, July 25th, declassified with the Ukrainian president, that was all released. So what was revealed? Did it, does it substantiate anything from the whistleblower?
No. Again, Zelensky is saying that there was no pressure. You can read the transcript for yourself. Your listeners can look at the transcript. And what they're going to find is Zelensky and Trump complaining about the lack of European assistance and Trump and basically invoking this mutual legal assistance treaty, saying, can you help out Attorney General Barr both get to the bottom of the Russiagate allegations that were lodged against me, President Trump speaking, and then then corruption comes up, and Trump says, yeah, I know about corruption. Have you heard Joe Biden had the prosecutor general fired? And Zelensky says, yeah, we know all about that.
Yeah.
So Trump wasn't even telling Zelensky anything that he didn't already know. Zelensky ran on an anti-corruption platform. He ran on trying to end this civil war and reunite his country that the United States apparently tore in half. We were a major actor in this civil war, and we were installing an administration that to get this trade deal adopted. It's ridiculous.
Robert Romano is with us today, Vice President of Public Policy with Americans for Limited Government. We're talking about, well, the impeachment fever that is evident right now, coming forth with this whole Ukrainian issue and how it relates to Russiagate, and we'll talk about further implications after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how are diamonds formed?
Chris, diamonds are actually a crystalline form of carbon. It's thought that diamonds form deep inside the earth at unimaginable temperatures and pressures. Efforts to form diamonds synthetically require these extreme conditions. But evolutionists say it took billions of years to form them. But a recent breakthrough was able to form diamonds at much lower temperatures and pressures than before, and it only took about 12 hours. The product was virtually indistinguishable from natural diamonds. The lesson we can learn from this is it doesn't take long periods of time to accomplish geologic wonders. It just takes extreme conditions. The Bible speaks of just such a high-energy environment during the great flood of Noah's day. Our Earth doesn't really look old, it looks flooded. And that's the back-to-Genesis way of thinking.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more info on Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Robert Romano is with us today. He is Vice President of Public Policy with Americans for Limited Government, and talking about the saga that continues here against President Trump right now as it relates to getting to the bottom of this Russian collusion story. And all of a sudden now we have an uproar taking place that somehow the allegations are that he was either withholding of funds to force Ukraine to assist in investigations or to reveal information. It just, the saga is just based upon a premise that is not true. And I'd like to bring Adam Schiff into this as well. He is the House Intelligence Committee Chair. And Robert, this congressman, according to President Trump, he says Adam Schiff lied to Congress, and he does not seem to be above reproach in all of this. In that, even Stephanopoulos grilled him from ABC about making up Trump quotes.
Absolutely. In this hearing, if your listeners actually watched it, Schiff is portraying this conversation Trump had with Zelensky, but making it sound like it was some sort of mob movie. I mean, you almost get the impression that James Comey wrote the script for that, where he likes to accuse President Trump of being some kind of a mafia boss or something like that. But it was just a parody, and Schiff is acting like this is what was actually said there, in so many words. And it was not at all what was said, because there was no shakedown, there was no pressure. And the thing that the Democrats are accusing Trump of doing with this pressure on federal funds to Ukraine was what Joe Biden actually did to the prosecutor general, threatened $1.2 billion of loan guarantees unless this prosecutor general who was investigating Burisma Holdings that his son worked for was fired.
Yeah, amazing. But all of this seems to be the catalyst for Nancy Pelosi saying, yes, we need to launch this impeachment inquiry.
I think they're desperate, but your listeners should realize that this conversation just took place on July 25, and they haven't had much lead-in to saying, oh, yes, we have to go directly to impeachment, and clearly they didn't even have the transcript available to them when they went forward. When Nancy Pelosi said, let's pursue impeachment, all they had was the whistleblower complaint, and then it turned out that the whistleblower complaint contained numerous factual errors about the conversation itself, and implied all sorts of things, that there was this pressure, that the military assistance was important to the conversation. They were trying to provide context, I think the whistleblower was, but they didn't have everything, and they certainly didn't have the transcript. And so Pelosi went out there and staked everything on what this transcript was going to show. And I think everyone who's looked at it since then, who's fair-minded, and is not necessarily out to get President Trump, but just wants to know what happens, is saying there's nothing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yet we have this growing chorus that's been happening since the 2018 turnover of the House of Representatives, this growing chorus calling for impeachment. Nancy Pelosi she's been kind of resistant toward that and kind of downplaying some of that up until this point. What brought about the change?
I think it's desperation. I think that they're realizing that, look at what's actually in the transcript. The one thing the whistleblower does, he doesn't simply focus on Biden. He also focuses on Trump requesting legal assistance to get to the bottom of the phony Russiagate allegations that Foreign Intel was working with the U.S. on. So I think what they're afraid of is what Michael Horowitz, the Inspector General at the Justice Department, is about to find on the FISA abuses, where the Justice Department was spying on the Trump campaign in 2016 on a false basis, and what Barr is ultimately, and John Durham, the U.S. attorney who's looking into this angle, what that investigation is going to find out. I think all the information, all the new information that's going to come out, it's going to weigh against what the Obama administration was doing in 2016 and carrying over this investigation into 2017. It's going to be bad for Democrats, so they're desperate to remove Trump right now.
Yeah,
or at least damage him.
Yeah, do you see that as being the end goal in all of this? That's their purpose in this whole investigation, bringing this forward?
Well, again, the transcript doesn't show anything. So
right.
I think a good barometer on how much trouble Trump is actually in is Lindsey Graham, U.S. Senator. He's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he's been supporting Trump, and he says there's nothing in the transcript that would lead him to remove
right.
Trump from office. So they're not going to get to 67 in the Senate.
That they may not be, but I think, as Mitch McConnell pointed out here recently, if the House does indeed produce articles of impeachment, they will hold a trial in the Senate.
They have to. But that doesn't mean that Trump's going to get removed and
right.
that everything that's going to be revealed in Trump's defense is not going to be damaging for Democrats. It's going to, I think what's about to be revealed to this country is what really happened in 2016. It's questionable whether Pelosi ultimately follows through with the actual votes on impeachment or if they're just going to stage some more committee hearings and have have this whistleblower come forward, probably testifying behind closed doors, because they don't want to reveal the identity of a CIA officer. But I mean, it's more theatrics. It's more drama. If they actually hold the vote, do they even get to 218? I don't know about that.
Comment on how you view the media right now. To me, it seems like they are becoming a major player in fanning the flames of this impeachment fever.
Well, it's very disgraceful. I mean, there's many good media outlets out there,
yes.
and there's many great reporters and journalists, and so I don't want to cast a wide aspersion here, but the ones who are fanning the flames here are propaganda outlets on behalf of what looks like an intelligence operation that began in 2016 directed at the Republican Party and their nominee for President Donald Trump. To make him look like a Russian agent when he really wasn't. That's what they're standing for. Is that justice? Is that what, we think of democracy and we think of the Constitution. We think of fair play and that we're going to have a debate and we're going to, over taxes and spending or healthcare or whatever, and we're going to vote and then we're going to respect the outcome and have a peaceful transition of power when the other side wins. And that's America. Are they standing for America right now? I think that there's this is really sinister. And I think what happened in Ukraine is like a sneak preview of what they're trying to accomplish here. Look what Biden and Obama did to Ukraine. Look at how that country was torn in half. And then compare it to the 3 years that followed. I think that's how power is seized upon, that this is legitimacy if they win, even if it's based on lies, even if people die. I think this is evil.
Today is October 1st, 2019. Lay out the scenario before us. Where are we headed from here? Are we going to be having House hearings? Are we going to what lies before us at this point? What is the prison situation?
I think in order to expedite this, Pelosi's going to want to focus simply on this Ukrainian angle with these hearings. And then if they are going to vote, they'll do it before the end of the year. They want to get this done before New Hampshire primary and the Iowa caucuses. Because by then you're on the presidential election cycle. And the argument's going to be, if you don't want Donald Trump to be in president anymore, why don't we just, debate him and see if we can win the election if you're a Democrat?
So, okay, that will unfold, and the matter, and I've seen some of the news reports coming out that believe that this is going to backfire on the Democratic Party. Nancy Pelosi was asked here just the other day whether or not she believes her party will lose control. She said it doesn't matter. This is about the Constitution.
No, it's about the ends justify the means. I think that they're trying to, if they can't remove Trump, they want to damage him. And so that Republicans are questioning Trump. But I think Republicans are, this is solidifying Republican support. And I think it's peeling off Democrats who are saying, wait a second, why are we still trying to prove Trump is a Russian agent? That is gone. That is a conspiracy theory. These people, they might as well be wearing tinfoil hats on television. It's a laughing stock at this point. They don't have any credibility left. And that's why I think all these things are coming out with such rapid precision. They're trying to find something that sticks. And they're running out of time. It's a year before the election.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing?
Yeah. And a matter of fact, if people are dissatisfied, they'll be casting votes just a year from now and would have a chance to remove them even without the impeachment process.
Well, yeah, this is all they can do with the House. I mean, Democrats were supposed to want infrastructure. That was supposed to be something they agreed with Trump on.
Yeah.
But redoing NAFTA is something that labor union Democrats are supposed to agree with Trump on. And they voted for him in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan. They're probably going to vote for him again because the Democrats are not doing anything with the USMCA. They're not doing anything with infrastructure. They should have been working on all this stuff with the Trump administration and then making their best case in 2020 when we all go to vote again. Instead, they got to do all this you know, kind of homeland style cable television show about intelligence operations. Oh, we need the CIA to work for us and try to overthrow Trump. But this is a coup. What the heck are they doing? They're out of their minds.
Robert Romano is our guest today. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Maybe you've got a question because there's been a lot of elements that have been put forth into all of this, or maybe you have a brief comment on the unfolding that's taking place right now as it pertains to this call for impeachment inquiry and hearings and impeachment itself. Robert, when we have even the whistleblower that is basing part of the whistleblower complaint on what the media has said, we got some issues here.
I think so. They don't. It basically just tells you that there's nothing to this.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to complain about military assistance that's already been released. They're going to complain about U.S.-Ukrainian relations, which are probably better now than they were in, I don't know, 2014 when Joe Biden was overthrowing the president there. Biden really brags in his book that I talked. There were these shootings in this Independence Square in Kiev on February 20. I speak to Yanukovych on February 21, and by February 22. He's leaving office. He's fleeing to Russia. So Biden just likes to brag about how he's overthrowing every government official, including the president of Ukraine and the prosecutor general, and that he's just like this Roman provincial governor from antiquity who just bosses these people around. But I think that U.S.-Ukrainian relations are actually improving now, and President Trump might be in a position to negotiate a peace talks or at least move forward so that we're not escalating regional tensions there. I mean, the last person you want to elect right now is Joe Biden vis-a-vis U.S.-Russian relations and U.S.-Ukrainian relations. I think that, you know, it's a good thing President Trump's the president right now because he has really good instincts on this, and it turns out he's been proven right all along about what was really going on.
You've been writing regularly on this whole matter, even as it goes back to Russiagate before and collusion and so forth. What is the best website, Robert, that you can direct people to see your writings on these issues?
DailyTorch.com.
Okay, again, DailyTorch.com. Let's get a call in before the break. Ed is calling in from Spencer, Tennessee. Ed, you're on the air.
Well, first of all, I want to go on record as saying these Democrats are despicable and abhorrent. But I had this scenario. What if Trump is convicted and put out of office? Can he then again run in 2020? Is he eligible to do that?
Well, it's never happened before. I think that, yeah, he probably could stand again if it came to that. But I'm honestly not worried at all that the president is at risk of being removed from office. I mean, the way this is going, the way the facts are coming out, really weighs in the president's favor. I mean, if anything, he's probably gonna win handily in 2020 because the Democrats can only run on fictions.
So the process here is the House would have to, by majority vote, bring these articles of impeachment. It would then go to the Senate for a trial, of which two-thirds of the Senate would be needed in order to bring conviction. Is that correct?
That's correct. And then removal.
Right. And then removal. Okay. Thank you, Ed, for the call. Quick break here, and we'll come back to more of your phone calls. Robert Romano is our guest. The website, DailyTorch.com. And our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Back in 1 minute, here on the VCY America Network.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Impeachment fever is our topic today. Robert Romano is our guest, and their website, DailyTorch.com. We're going right back to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. And we've got Steve calling next from Salina, Kansas. Steve, you're on the air.
Mr. Romano, out of all you said, there's some key words you said that they've lost, all respect, and they've lost their minds. I mean, do they think that Trump's going to be impeached? No, they're panicked, and they know he's going to get reelected. That's the main thing they're worried about. And no matter who Trump debates, he'll tear him to shreds, because what have the Democrats in the House got done? Absolutely nothing but lies, lies, and lies.
I if you have to bet on the odds, I wouldn't bet against the president on this. The Democrats are going into their primary season, I think, very divided. And Joe Biden, he's been leading the national polls, but he's been sinking. Elizabeth Warren's nipping at his heels. And you could have a heavily contested, I think, primary with the Democrats with no clear winner heading into the convention. Or even if they do win, it's going to be kind of narrowly. And meanwhile, Trump's pretty much running unopposed. I don't think William Weld poses much of a danger to President Trump in these primaries. And Democrats have just did the one thing that Republicans sometimes struggle with, which is being unified. Although President Trump has had very strong approval ratings with Republicans. So I think heading into 2020, Pelosi is actually helping Trump, because usually what takes down a sitting president would be a strong primary challenge. And the odds of that are dropping by the minute.
Mm-hmm. Steve, thank you for the call here today. And it's very interesting to observe what is not getting done, as you mentioned earlier, Robert, in the House of Representatives. What meaningful legislation has really been passed during this current term? I mean, it's hard to really pin what meaningfully has been done. But there seems to be many attempts to stop the economy from moving forward, to stop the job creation from going forward, and instead to just bog this Congress down in nothing but investigative hearings.
Yeah, absolutely. I think honestly we're going to have to wait till 2021 for Congress to get anything meaningful done. And we're just going to have, Republicans and Democrats, you're just going to have to debate it out and say, here's what our agenda is. Maybe we'll actually have a debate next year. That would be kind of interesting. I mean, I'm sure your listeners, I'm certainly tired of talking about this stupid Russiagate stuff.
Yeah. Let's go to Edward in Appleton, Wisconsin. Edward, you're on the air. Hello, Edward. You're on the air. Edward. Okay, let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. Leroy, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. How you doing, Robert?
Very well, thank you.
I had a question. So there's this Wall Street Journal article out here, and it starts off with the word opinion. You're going to put all the cards on the table. But then when you look at the video, it shows Biden actually doing what they are trying to accuse Trump of. I have spoken to some Democrats. They focus on the word opinion, but when Biden is saying that he withheld funds, federal funds from Ukraine in order to get someone fired, how can that be ignored? How can that be ignored?
Yeah.
I don't think that everyone's ignoring it, and I think that people are paying close attention to what's being said right now. And you can see Biden speaking to the Council on Foreign Relations, bragging about how he had this prosecutor general fired in 2016. And then all you have to do is check John Solomon's reporting at The Hill. I highly recommend looking into it, that this Igor Shokin, this prosecutor general, says he was fired because he was investigating Burisma Holdings, because Joe Biden threatened his $1.2 billion of loan guarantees. And it just so happens that his son sat on the board of directors since 2014 after the United States helped to overthrow the government of Ukraine, which Biden brags about in his book that he was the one who got Viktor Yanukovych to flee to Russia in February of 2014. So I think Biden is in up to his neck in Ukraine, and it's probably the last thing Democrats want to be talking about if he's likely to be their nominee. I can't imagine why the heck Democrats said, oh, yeah, Ukraine, let's do that again. That's the last thing they should be talking about. But, okay, let's talk about Ukraine. I'm going to enjoy this part.
Leroy, thank you for the call. David is calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes. A couple of quick questions is that I think basically is what Robert is saying is I think the Democrats know they've lost next year, and this is some kind of last-ditch, you know, effort to conjure something up. I mean, do you think that they know they've lost?
No, I think they're so blind with their partisan hatred that they can't countenance the fact. Maybe they thought they had the goods with this whistleblower complaint, but they really, really should have. The fact that Zelensky comes out, this Ukrainian president, says not only was there no pressure, but I have a good relationship with President Trump, and then they're appearing at the United Nations, shaking hands and smiling and supporting one another. And in the transcript, Zelensky is saying he agrees to help out President Trump and Attorney General Barr with whatever investigation the Justice Department is pursuing, which, by the way, is a provision of the U.S.-Ukraine Mutual Legal Assistance Treaty. With almost every country in the world, we have these mutual legal assistance treaties, and it is commonplace for prosecutors in one country to seek the assistance of prosecutors in another country when you have a kind of a mutual affair, as something that occurred that in one country or the other that requires sharing of information. So I don't think there was any corruption here. If anything, Trump's trying to root out the corruption. And Joe Biden and the Obama administration, they were the ones fueling the corruption in the Ukraine. And Trump wants to end it. Zelensky got elected to end it. And then maybe we can solve the civil war, too, and try to avoid a wider regional conflict that our sons and daughters would be drawn into and probably killed.
Wow. Thank you, David. Let's go to from New Mexico. Let's go to Lawrence, Michigan. Zoltan, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to point out to your listeners that the big lie and practitioners of the big lie scored a big success in 2018 by taking over the House by peddling the idea that President Trump was a Russian agent. Even people in his own party were reluctant to back President Trump and hamstrung his ability to move his agenda forward. We have Obamacare still because the Republicans acted like a bunch of sheep. Now, the Democrats and the One Worlders still want to hamstring President Trump. If they can't beat him, they will gum it up terribly because Ginsburg will die soon. God rest her soul. Soon, I hope.
Well,
that's...
And Zoltan, I'll just say this. I mean, our hope is not wishing somebody's death to take place. Our hope as a Christian broadcast network is that people come to faith in Jesus Christ. But the issue that I really believe you're raising here deals with the judicial appointments, whether it be that of the Supreme Court or the federal judiciary. And, Robert, it's no secret that there is just a hatred, a growing hatred, as to the nominees that President Trump has put forward in the various judicial picks.
No, they're rock solid. And President Trump, I believe, he's already had over 150 judicial nominees
yes.
confirmed. And, you know, you're going to go through another term of office. It'll be probably about 150 more. And whatever Supreme Court picks that he gets to make in his second term. Democrats could be looking at a generational minority on the Supreme Court as a result of this. And so, yeah, there's a lot of desperation. Just look what they tried to do to Justice Kavanaugh on fake allegations that he was,
yes.
You know, involved with sexual abuse or something. I think that what we're seeing here is the slimy underbelly of Washington, D.C. and the swamp. And what the lengths they're willing to go to either acquire power, maintain power, or steal power. They'll overthrow the government. They will use the CIA to try to stage a coup. I mean, just if your listeners are still skeptical about all this, this is everything we're discussing here is public information, and I highly recommend that go to, you know, you can go to conservative news outlets. I'd check out John Solomon up on the Hill there. I'd pay attention to what Rudy Giuliani is saying right now. Rudy Giuliani is a hero for coming forward with these these allegations. He had a strong defense of President Trump against this Mueller probe, and then Giuliani won. And he, what he's exposing right now could be the most unbelievable, but yet factual, accurate corruption I think that we've ever seen in this country. And we have to get to the bottom of this because this must never happen again. You had the Obama administration spying on, the opposition party in an election year. This was an act of war against the Constitution, against the American people, against President Trump, against the Republican Party. And we can't have a two-party, stable two-party system, that's not going to break down into some sort of civil strife. If this is what goes on, we need to have free and fair elections. I think that's what's at stake here.
Thank you, Zoltan. Carol is calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Carol, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm questioning what is the deadline for people to apply as a candidate for the presidency for next year. I've just got this gut feeling that there may be two former first ladies that may throw their hat in the ring at a later date, as late as they possibly can as far as becoming a candidate. And then another thing is we need to just really, really be in prayer for next Tuesday for our Supreme Court decisions, and also for our president and our vice president.
Yep, indeed.
We need to pray hard.
Amen. Thank you, Carol, for that. We do know that we have the Iowa caucuses coming up in late January, the New Hampshire primaries. Do we know what the deadline is for one to throw their hat in the ring?
Well, you have to gather the signatures to get on the ballot. So I think you would have enough time if they started, like, right this minute to get the signatures to get on the ballot as a Democratic candidate. I don't know if Michelle Obama is going to run for president, and I would tend to doubt it. Especially at this late stage, you have far more established candidates like Elizabeth Warren, like Joe Biden, who are probably much better positioned to wage a national campaign. Resurrecting the Obama campaign people from back in 2012, you can't do that overnight, and it would kind of look rushed at to say the least to try to begin it right now. So I'm very skeptical we're going to see any new candidates.
Carol, thank you for the call. David, Whitehall, Wisconsin, you're on the air. Hello, David, you're on the air. David, one more chance. Okay, let's go to Joe in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. It's shameful when our leaders are wasting resources because their money generating opportunities are attacked. My question is, can you give us an estimate of how much man hours and resources are going to be wasted on this attempt? If you can calculate from the past impeachment examples.
It's an interesting question. I would say tens of millions of dollars. But these are committee hearings that would otherwise be held. It's just what is the subject matter of these committee hearings. So in terms of additional dollars, I don't know if it's really going to cost anything. Democrats, because you have a legislative affairs budget, they're not requesting new funds in order to carry forward an impeachment, right? So they probably have about as much money as they had last year. Plus, all these staffers are permanent employees. So, again, they have the discretion. If this is what they want to focus their terms of office on, they're welcome to it. I mean, they should be passing infrastructure, though. I think that there's some common ground that Democrats could have with Republicans and President Trump, who's not exactly your conventional Republican. We've known that since 2016. We're Americans for limited government, but the reason to oppose impeachment is not because, oh, this costs too much money. It's because they're bringing up fake allegations and they're using the intelligence agencies to wage some sort of deep state coup. I think there's far more egregious corruption that's occurred here. The reason to oppose impeachment is because this is going to destroy the Constitution and tear our country in half.
Thank you for the call. We are up against a break, so let's take that break. We'll be back here for the final segment, which will feature more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk. Our number 800-733-9829. Robert Romano is our guest today. His website, dailytorch.com, dailytorch.com, where you'll find writings and commentary on a number of issues that are going on, reporting that you'll not find from other sources. Again, that's dailytorch.com. Back in just 1 minute. For the
the Worldview Week in Minute. I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. One survey after another is showing that young people today want to live under socialism. The question is why? One of the reasons is a lack of education. They have not been taught what socialism really is and how it will really end. History is littered with the philosophies of Karl Marx, i.e. socialism, being worked out. It always ends badly. And yet, many have never been taught this. What they've been given is a lot of lofty platitudes, common good, social justice, shared community. They don't understand the evils of socialism, communism, fascism, Marxism. Ronald Reagan, in his farewell address, pleaded with Americans to preserve America through an informed patriotism. Our young people need that, and it includes Economics 101.
We're talking with Robert Romano today from Americans for Limited Government. Our topic, impeachment fever. That's the way I see it. There just seems to be that heightened temperature that's going on in the House of Representatives at this point by the majority party there. But taking your calls today at Crosstalk, all the lines are packed, but we'll get in as many as we can here with Robert Romano. Robert in Glendale, Wisconsin is calling, and Robert, you're on the air with Robert Romano.
Well, good afternoon, Brother Tim, and good afternoon, Robert.
Thank
I got
you.
A question for you. Are you familiar with Dr. Peter Fry?
No, I can't say I am, but why don't you tell me what he's about?
Well, he goes along with what you are presenting today. In addition to that, yesterday on Brandon House's program, he presented the fact that this whole process in which the Democrats are now proceeding with is totally unconstitutional. There is not one iota of proof that they have the grounds to constitutionally go through with this process. And so they are blatantly defying our Constitution and showing forth their socialistic desires in creating a socialistic environment and country that we have, well, I'm 67. I'll be 67. I apologize. I lived in the Republic.
Robert, let me have Robert comment on that because of shortage of time. Your thoughts on that, Robert?
Well, parliamentary procedure, what Pelosi should have done was hold a vote on the floor to send an impeachment inquiry to these committees. Instead, she just had a press conference, basically, and issued a statement saying that we're doing an impeachment inquiry. It's like, what else is new? They've been doing an impeachment inquiry since Trump came down the escalator.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not actually moving forward with anything. Are they actually going to vote on impeachment? I don't know. I mean, Republicans are calling their bluff. If they want to vote on impeachment, go right ahead. We're not worried.
Does this rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors?
Oh, well, now let's talk about the Constitution.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
No, there is no criminal basis. There were no high crimes and misdemeanors to do with this phone call with Zelensky. There was no treason. There was no bribery. So what are we talking about again?
Yeah. Thank you, Robert. David in Whitehall, you're on the air. David, you're on the air. Danny in Roscoe, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Brother Jim. How you doing, Robert? My question is there a true whistleblower, or is this just a possibility of another deep state coup to overthrow our president? Because they're trying awful hard to keep this whistleblower quiet, and it just, none of it makes sense. And I don't think anything is beneath these Democrats, these communist socialist Democrats. And I'll hang up and I'll listen to your answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is he a legitimate, or is she a legitimate whistleblower? I don't think so. The Justice Department, actually, the Office of Legal Counsel weighed in on the merits, the legal merits of whether this was a whistleblower. I suppose he qualifies, or she qualifies, for so-called whistleblower protection, so we'll probably not find out the identity of a CIA officer unless they want to retire and stand there on the on television and start testifying in front of the cameras. If anything, all that's going to happen is you're going to have a closed-door classified hearing with this person, and maybe a transcript of that will be released. But I don't see this as legitimate because they have a policy disagreement with President Trump, who runs our foreign policy. We have one president at a time. This is a matter settled at the Constitutional Convention, and you know, CIA officers have a lot to do with foreign policy, but they don't have anything to do with making foreign policy decisions.
Right.
That alone falls with the president.
Kevin in Saxon, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey guys, Brandon, thank you very much. Listen, I want to throw something out there for all your viewers. I mean, I love Crosstalk from the standpoint that we talk about the Lord, but with this that's going on right now in our nation, what I would suggest to all of the listeners out there is look at who you have in office in your areas. If they're Democrats and they're for this, work now, start working now to find people that can replace them so we can get the Senate, we can have the House, and then we can try to continue the way that God would want us to go, because all of this extra noise that they're trying to turn our country and all this, it's not going to stop unless we get them out of office and we put the good people in.
Thank you, Kevin.
That was my only comment. And bless you guys. I listen to your show all the time. And just stay on the Lord, because you know what? He knows what's going on.
Thank you, Kevin. I certainly agree with that. Robert, one thing to point out here. Indeed, every seat in the U.S. House is up for election next November, November 2020.
And yeah, and the fact is, by Pelosi preventing a vote on the floor, what she's doing is protecting those members of Congress that won in districts that Trump won in 2016. They're avoiding a vote on this. And I think the more the information that comes out, it looks less likely that you're going to actually have a vote, because Pelosi's going to put these her own members basically on the hot coals on this.
Yeah.
And I don't think they want to be standing there.
Mike in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I totally agree with the previous caller, but I wonder at how much of the whole skew with all of this democratic process has to do with fomenting a Hegelian crisis. And I'll listen to the comments on radio.
Sorry, I missed it and he hung up. I don't know if you caught it, Robert.
I didn't.
Okay. Tammy in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment that there's probably only two people in the entire United States that President Trump could appoint to the Supreme Court that the Democrats would not hate immediately, and that's a former Secretary of State and a former president. But then they'd probably criticize Trump for having ulterior motives.
Well, thank you for your call here and comments. Certainly, I believe anybody who goes forth as a nominee from this current president is going to be raked through the coals, just like we've observed in the last two times. Robert, we have 30 seconds. What would you like to leave with the listeners here?
Just keep your eyes open and keep your keep your mind open to what we're about to learn. I think from Horowitz, from William Barr, the Attorney General, President Trump is doing his best on behalf of America and try to preserve the Constitution. And I think that the outcome of this investigation that Barr's undertaken could very well determine our future.
DailyTorch.com is the website to keep abreast on see the views coming forth from Americans for Limited Government on so many different issues. Robert, thanks for carving out the time to join us today.
No problem.
Again, that website is DailyTorch.com. We certainly echo what others have said. We need to keep this nation in prayer. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.